Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Coast City Podcast, Actually Comics for September 19th, 2018. We're going to be talking about an absolute crap ton of comics featuring all sorts of amazing stuff, including Dick Tracy and Spider-Man's and all sorts of things.
All of the fresh modern characters.
All of the... yeah. It's really...
Hot off the presses, yeah. Dick Tracy. It's the Dick. It's Dick Week. Be forewarned in many, many ways, and unfortunately,
it is. Hey, first appearance of Batman's penis this week. Hooray!
It is sure that, and that's gonna be last. So if you're waiting for the hot take for that, you might want to skip ahead.
Okay. So I'm gonna start with my favorite book of the week. Yeah. It's been my favorite superhero book probably since Grant Morrison's New X-Men. This is Immortal Hulk number 7. Is that what it is?
It's number 6.
Number 6. It continues to be great. This is Banner is now trying to repress the Hulk because he believes that he has sucked some sort of evil thing into his system when he absorbed the life essence of the Sasquatch. And so he's trying to make sure that when the Hulk comes to the surface, he doesn't come back evil and try to kill everybody. It's just great. It's just a fun horror take on the Hulk, and I love it.
So yeah, just a couple. I thought it was a really, really strong issue. I really want Al Ewing is the writer, so good writing all the way through this series. This has fill-in artist or guest artist Lee Garbett, who I've been really enjoying on his Image series Skyward, which I really like. This is, I think, the strongest art in the series so far. This guy's great. This is kind of, there's like a big conspiratorial kind of bent to it developing, and it's kind of branches out into the greater Marvel universe while still maintaining that kind of horror take on the Hulk, and it is really good. I would definitely put it as not my favorite of the week, but definitely right up there. Book
awesome.
Show.
Yeah. How about you talk about this thing?
Okay, I'm going to talk about, well, you know what, actually, now that, well... I'm going to talk about Black Hammer Age of Doom number 5.
Okey-dokey.
I'm torn with what... There were some really strong books this week. And Black Hammer Age of Doom, it's the last issue of the newest miniseries, and it's just so good. There's not really much I can say. It's by Jeff Lemire and Dean Ormston. Talking about it would... Just get... If you're not reading Black Hammer, start reading Black Hammer. Go get the first trade at Coast City, if you can't get it there right now, order it and work your way through the series because it is so good.
Oh yeah, we have plenty of Black Hammer.
Awesome.
We have all of it.
Awesome. I just don't know what your stock is, so
yeah.
I just wanted to make sure.
Always keep it in stock. And Edge of Spider-Geddon number 3, another batch of these Spider-Geddon books that are really fun. This one is great. This is a little kid Spider-Man and his Uncle Ben. Uncle Ben's life was saved by a blood transfusion from little Spider-Man, who has the spider powers.
Yeah.
And the uncle's kind of a little bit of a louse. He's a little drunky, little too punchy.
Working man.
Yeah, he's a working man, but he's also, he takes it a little too far, and he's struggling to bring it back so that he doesn't look bad in front of his little... idealistic spider kid.
Yeah, there's it's interesting because this one actually really does the meat of the story involves the Spider-Geddon crossover, which hasn't started yet, so it sets the stage for the fact that that's going to be pretty heavy. But ugh, this is like basically like
everybody,
it's very, this is like almost like a very Frank Miller like kind
it
of
is.
It's it, by Jason Latour and Tansy Zonjic.
Ooh.
And Tansy Zonjic is a Lobster Johnson artist. What else did he do? Other stuff. Anyway, so really good take on... So it's, like you said, there's a blood transfusion, so Uncle Ben doesn't die, but instead teams up with teen Peter Parker, and they are both spider people fighting crime. But it's pretty brutal in parts, but really, really good, really strong. The story was great. Definitely the best of the Edge of Spider-Geddon's that has come out, I think.
All right.
Loved it.
And up next, Mr. Miracle.
Heavy duty. If you're reading Mr. Miracle, this is kind of like a payoff issue, and answers some questions about how the series fits into the greater scheme of DC, which, given how I'm feeling about DC right now, could have been really bad, but it's actually really great. I think Mr. Miracle has been super strong. The art is really cool in this. This is basically like just the final showdown with Darkseid. It's crazy and brutal, and I am loath to say anything about it other than if you want to see someone really fucking with Darkseid, and also Darkseid also really fucking with someone else. It's great. I would say this is the best Darkseid story since Grant Morrison's Justice League.
Awesome. Awesome. Okay, West Coast Avengers number 2 is out, and I love this book very much. We left off with being introduced to BroDoc, the bioorganic, designed mostly for kissing. What was it?
Yeah.
Something like that. So BroDoc is here, the shirtless, sexy version of MODOK, and they're trying to befriend him. To try and keep him from being evil.
Yeah.
And it's fun.
It's the formation of the new West Coast Avengers team. The art and story is really strong. This is really fun. Like, if you're looking for a fun superhero comic, you cannot go wrong with this. It's both Hawkeye's and Kid Omega, Quentin Quire, and Gwenpool. I don't know. It's just a really fun book. I actually didn't spend a ton of time with this because I just know I'm going to love it. So, because based on the first issue, it was so good.
It was.
BroDoc.
BroDoc. Yeah, it's just fun. It's back to when superhero comics were fun. Hey.
America Chavez is also in it.
Oh, yeah.
Too. She's great.
Okay, so. Next up is Infinity Warps.
Warps.
Soldier Supreme. So, big spoiler alert if you didn't read the last issue of Infinity War. So, Gamora has the Power Stone in her sword. She has split the universe asunder and folded reality in on itself, squishing people so that half the universe is now squished with half the other universe. And so you get things like Doctor Strange and Captain America as one person.
Yeah.
And
it's like the amalgam universe, except it's just Marvel.
It's really fun, stupid stuff. But this issue is 10 times better than it has any right to be. I really loved it. It was really fun. It had some really fun, weird twists, and the idea of the way that he was made, it just basically turns him into a Mike Mignola character. Awesome.
Yeah, it was cool. I flipped through it. I didn't spend a lot of time with it, but I like the idea of what they're doing with it. It was an interesting take on the classic Infinity half everybody's got to die thing, but like in a different, just kind of different way. Did you read Ice Cream Man?
I didn't read Ice Cream Man this week.
I did read Ice Cream Man. Ice Cream Man is, it kind of, it's becoming, I don't know, it's the evilest that the Ice Cream Man has been to date. He's quite evil in it. There's that other guy that's been showing up. But it's a ghost story where basically it's a young girl and her best friend dies at a very young age of a terrible disease, and she believes that her friend is still with her, and so her family is dealing with some stuff. And then, as per the sort of the usual of Ice Cream Man, the Ice Cream Man shows up, although I think this is the first one where the Ice Cream Man doesn't give someone an ice cream. But he just is there and is terrifyingly evil.
Yeah, he's actually doing something.
Yeah,
he's actively interfering with the situation.
Yeah, it's like there's like a kind of like a mythology to like the Ice Cream Man and his opposite, and it's not exactly what I kind of assumed, that the Ice Cream Man was more of a benign...
Yeah,
like, but I'm not quite sure that that's.
I thought he was going to be just a crypt keeper, but he is clearly part of the story.
But it's a good done in one horror story.
Yeah,
you know, she's got to realize what's going on with her friend being gone and deal with it, and you know, it's good.
Really also, good story this is arc. This is the beginning of Image's comic book legal defense fund week, and there's a whole bunch of like super offensive covers and their censored counterparts and all this. and Ice Cream Man really won the day with their cover. they took the unbelievable, hilarious high road, and you get the variant that the uncensored version is him showing a little bit of his ankle.
Yeah, there's like a censored bar over the ankle, but then there's an uncensored version where you just see the ankle.
It is salacious.
Pretty funny.
It's great. And Dick Tracy. Speaking of comics from the 20s that we all know and love.
Speaking of things that I saw this and I was just like, okay. And then looked at what was going on inside of it and holy moly. So this is the Alrids, Mike and Laura, doing the writing. Rich Tommaso doing the penciling and Mike Alred doing the inks. So it's essentially Rich Tommaso, if you're not familiar, we spent a lot of time talking about his last series, Dry County. He also has several, Spy Seal was one that he did recently. A lot of stuff for Image. This is IDW, but it's Dick Tracy done by those guys. And I thought it was really cool. A billion times better than it had any right to be, in the same way that you were kind of talking about that Spider-Man, Captain America, Doctor Strange amalgam. This was just a fun kind of novelty. Like if you know who Dick Tracy is, if you don't, maybe this is where you find out.
Yeah.
I'm going to cough.
That is like probably the A-list of pop art.
Yeah.
Like putting those two together is just like, that is a brilliant idea. It's a brilliant team up, and I'm all about it.
I find that I love Alred as a collaborator much more than I like him on his own. And so like seeing this, it was like the best of like all the worlds. I thought it was really, really cool.
I agree in some ways. I love Alred on his own as
well.
I know you do. I really like AAA comics, everything they did was like, every time something new came out, it was my favorite thing.
I have a membership card.
Every Atomics book was my favorite. You know,
I love the Atomics.
Oh my God. Those books were so fun.
Man, can I tell you a really funny story involving AAA Pop Comics membership kit? So when it was coming out, you had to clip the coupon out of the comic and send it in. And then they sent you like, it was like a drawing, like a sketch pad and like a membership card and some junk, you know. And I had it, and I just put it in storage or whatever. And then years later, I mean, we're talking like probably close to 10 years later, I had a back tax return I had to do, and I couldn't find my tax returns. And I looked everywhere for these tax returns, like these old W-2s that I had. I couldn't find them anywhere. And I'm ripping through storage, pulling stuff out of boxes. I can't find them. I know I have them because I never throw that stuff away. I just can't find them, whatever. And I found this AAA Pop Comics membership kit. I opened it up to kind of check it out and what was inside but my old W-2s. I stored my W-2s
perfect
in a AAA Pop Comics membership kit.
What because better place?
What a good place to do it. Anyway, I digress.
Okay, so the next thing that I want to talk about is Marvel Superhero Adventures, the kids comic that's coming out super regularly. This book is wonderful. If you got kids, please get them this book. It's so fun.
I did not read it at all, but the middle spread by Ty Templeton where he mocks, like there's like a...
There's
like
a Peanuts, there's a Calvin and Hobbes, a Far Side,
like newspaper strips. Like there's one where like the Peanuts one is like Ms. Marvel is like taunting Spider-Man with an Avengers membership card, and the Rocket Raccoon as Garfield, the Avengers as family, or no, the villains as the family circus.
Yep.
Just absolutely brilliant double page spread. I love old kind of parodies of that kind of stuff. So
that was great.
It's a fun book. This one is Spider-Man and Captain Marvel.
And speaking of great things with Spider-Man, Spider-Man Annual Number
it's
1.
A good week for Spider-Man fans.
Yeah, it really is. Saladin Ahmed doing an awesome throwback story to the Black Suit Spider-Man when he was... It's basically a story told from the perspective of the symbiote. He's narrating the whole thing. He's going out. It's talking about how much he loves Peter Parker and how much he wants to help him out. And he's going out and he's fighting crime while Peter's asleep. He's keeping his brain asleep and then just using his body to go out and fight crimes at night.
Yeah.
And he makes friends that Peter never knows about.
Yeah, it's cool because that is actually, that's when I around when I first started reading Spider-Man, and that is literally like he was the symbiote. That's part of the storyline from when the symbiote was the costume, and he was like, he would wake up and be like, what did I do? And it's like, oh, you fought crime while you were asleep. And that was when he realized he needed to go see the Fantastic Four and get the symbiote pulled off of him and all that stuff. So it's total continuity. Really, really cool art by Gary Brown, who has done Moon Knight and some other stuff. Saladin Ahmed is currently writing Exiles. He did Abbott from Boom Studios, which was a great series. He's a great, great writer. He did a Black Bolt series that was really good. So the Spider-Man annual was cool. That was the other thing about the Spider-Geddon thing, too, was like you had this thing with Spider-Man and Spider-Ben, Spider-Uncle Ben, but like if you, there were parts of it where they were like, this is what would have happened in this storyline if Uncle Ben was, had spider powers. And it was like the Kraven's Last Hunt storyline. So like, it was cool because it was not only a good week for Spider-Man comics, but it was a good week for people who have been reading Spider-Man comics for as long as I have.
Yeah. And there's, the other thing is that there's a lot of what if stuff coming up, which I think is kind of cool. So Marvel's going to be hitting with a lot of those little what-if stories and the weird little amalgam stories. It's going to be fun.
Well, just acknowledging like what people, you know, I don't know, just not like pandering to continuity, but like acknowledging it is really cool. And I like it when it's done. Yeah. I don't know.
I agree.
I don't know. I like it when it's done well, and I like it when the editing is done with quality.
Speaking of pandering, boy, do I love this Simpsons comic that came out this week.
It's good. What's pandering about it?
Chief Wiggum's Felonious Funnies. It's very, it's just like full of references.
Yeah. It's well, very, especially the first story.
Very referencey. The first story is the Future Cop story with Wiggum, who has the backpack from the jetpack episode. And so he's going around solving future crime with a RoboCop. There's a Predator. He's kind of a Judge Dredd.
Yeah.
He's got a Planet of the Apes sidekick.
Brainiac is in
there's
there.
Brainiac. It's a real nice...
If you can imagine a future robot, it's probably in that story.
Yeah, it's real. In fact, I believe that Rom the Toy is in that. He turns into a gun. Or maybe it's... it must be that Transformer.
We got RoboCop. Yeah, sure. I don't know. Yeah, there's Back to the Future. It's like a big Back to the Future thing. Like the one of the bad guys is like, what's this guy's name? The bully guy, or the criminal guy?
Oh, Snake.
Snake. He's got like the Biff Tannen like future helmet. Oh yeah, and that must be Rom. Yeah, I don't know. Anyway, it was fun. Felonious Funnies. Chief Wiggum's Felonious Funnies number one. Was fun, and I did really like the cover thing where he said you have the right to remain mildly amused, which is generally how I feel about most Simpsons comics. So when I saw it, I was like,
that's fair
point.
I'm glad you didn't promise more than you could deliver.
Yeah, and you did actually deliver more than you promised, because I thought parts of it were really funny.
Okay, so guess what, Bub?
What?
Bub's back, and they're bubbing the bub.
Bub. I thought you said Bob.
Sorry, Bub. Bub, Wolverine is back in The Return of Wolverine.
He does say Bub a lot.
Guess what? He returns, and he's Wolverine. In fact, there's a version of him inside his own mind that can just kind of sit there and say Bub over and over again.
Yeah, he like is talking to all the different kind of personas
of his personality.
But he himself doesn't know who he is, and then they'll be like, the superhero guy is going to take over now. So it's kind of like almost like a Deadpool kind of thing. But not really, because it's not like Deadpool silly, but
he's having the conversations, but either way,
the first Wolverine proper comic book in several years.
Yeah, as a fan of this kind of thing, I thought it was amazing. It's nothing that's going to blow anybody's mind as far as the concepts. It's just back to basics kind of Wolverine story. You just get to see him being overly full of machismo and, you know, riding motorcycles and shooting guns and
he wakes up
being hairy and bloody.
He wakes up in a pool of blood and bodies, and then it goes from there.
Yep.
Yeah, not a bad
pretty much what you want.
Shall we talk about Justice League number 8?
Oh, please do.
Well, it is a Legion of Doom themed issue, which does feature the Juggaloker, or the Batman Who Laughs. And it is by fill-in team Tinian and Janine. And I don't know. Honestly, like, it's the villains kind of running around talking.
In this instance, this was the one time I really enjoyed this Justice League series.
Well, you liked the last one they did.
I did
too.
Like the last one that this team was on. I don't know. I hate to say it. I think I'm just not a fan of Scott Snyder writing the Justice League. I think that's just kind of it.
I think that's
it. I think every time this team takes over, I enjoy it. And every time they're not there, I'm just freaking confused.
Yeah. Well, the last one had a different artist. Basically, like Snyder does 4 issues, then Tinian does an issue with like a guest artist. So, and they tend to focus on the Legion of Doom.
Yeah.
I mean, I still don't really understand.
You see, okay.
The Legion of Doom. So well, it's like, but it is a more concise and straightforward
right.
read.
What I would say is that I didn't understand the thing that Scott Snyder set up. Basically, Scott Snyder set up this world where he just said, these are villains. They do bad things because villains do bad things. And I was like, okay, cool. And then they were like, we're going to blow up the Earth. And that was a real like, but don't you kind of live there? And they were like,
I'm
going to
blow
it.
Up my apartment.
I don't. That'll
Wait,
teach them.
Let me read
that. Yeah, I don't get it. But this, we have, at least we have Lex Luthor exploring, you know, this weird thing that he's trying to get at. We don't really know what it is, but he's breaking down these barriers and getting these certain things. He's taken something out of Starman's mind and blah, 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 blah. But the coolest part of this is that you have like the Cenobite Batman, the guy like chained up in a room, and they're doing a little like Hannibal Lecter thing, which is kind of a fun riff. That part I like. The
but
rest of it
holds all the cards. Is it Hannibal Lecter or Clarice Starling?
That was the one. That was actually the one thing that I kind of liked. I liked that little line in there where he was like, because he's not really the Joker. He's a Batman. He's the Batman Who Laughs.
Right.
And so he was the Joker was in the room and he was like, that's a Batman. He doesn't get put in a jail unless he wants to be there or whatever. And it was like, ah, that's cool. I like that idea.
Yeah, that is a good point. Yeah, and also Batman has had every bone in his body broken, so he's like in a weird
yes.
armored chair. The Justice League are in the comic as well.
Speaking of Batman, 55 is out this week.
Yeah.
And he's battling for the souls of Gotham, whatever the hell that means.
It means that he's teaming up with Ra's Nightwing, and they are having a very nice, lighthearted adventure, but then at the end, something horrible happens to a character that everybody loves, which is DC's deal. You know,
okay, but in the
here's a character everybody likes. Let's just do something terrible to that.
Is
character.
He fighting Eddie from Iron Maiden in the beginning?
Sure.
Okay, cool.
Sure. He's fighting a Sphinx of some kind. I think it's meant to be just like one of these like kind of over the top kind of Batman and Robin style. It's weird because Tom King on Mr. Miracle, I get, and it makes perfect sense. And it is so good. And then Tom King on Batman is like, I just don't get what he's doing at all. Like, I'll like it for like 3 issues and then something else happens. And I honestly really think that what I don't like is the editor. I think Tom King is fine. I think the writing is probably fine. I just think that like it's like one of those things where the editor is like, you got to do X. And it's like, okay, so then I'm going to try to make this work with what I already planned. And it just doesn't.
I agree. I think the things that you're disliking about that are clearly editorial decisions.
Yeah, like, I think so too. Because I love Tom King. He's amazing.
When something terrible happens to X character in this book, it's because they need X character to have something terrible happen
yeah.
to him.
Well, they need people like me to be like, oh,
crisis.
No. And, you know, yeah, exactly. And it's I'm at almost like a precipice with DC where it's like, you know, something like Mr. Miracle, I will have no hesitation getting. But like as far as like the regular monthly series, like I'm just not feeling it. Like, and maybe that'll change. I don't know. But I really think that it is that the editors don't know what they're doing.
You could be right. Well, what I would say is that what you should do is go back to the 90s with Venom.
I loved Venom. I loved that Venom. Like, loved it. It was so cool.
It's really good.
It's so cool. It's like, you know, when those Bloodstrike, when Michael Fiffa did the Bloodstrike, and it's like, here's all these image things. Like, it's like going back to the 90s, but it's like going back to the 90s in a way that is like totally modern, but... Yeah. Borrows that sensibility. Like it's so clearly
knows what it's about. It's hitting all of the tropes of a darkness or you know, like
Spawn.
A Spawn.
Yeah.
And it's doing them in a way that doesn't seem it just doesn't seem stupid. Like in any way. Like there's no point when I'm just like, I see him standing there in this big dumb cable suit and I'm like, I know this is going somewhere, and it is. There was a reason for it.
Well, it's like that thing where, and not a lot of people will remember this run, but when Grant Morrison and Mark Millar did Swamp Thing, and it was like Swamp Thing kind of like was always, or actually even before that, when Alan Moore took over Swamp Thing, and it was like Swamp Thing kind of was this thing, and it always just kind of was the way Swamp Thing was. And then Alan Moore came on and was like, hey, what if the world was expanded in this different way, and the mythology and everything got, and you open it up. So I think what Donny Cates is doing with Venom saying, like, here are the basic core facts of Venom. He's an alien symbiote from another planet. But then, like, what if we expand the mythos in a way that, for whatever reason, no one's done?
Yeah,
really working.
It's so insane because, like, it feels like what has existed for Venom is a spot about, you know, like about the size of a nickel, let's say. And then he's just gone in and he said, well, what if it's like about the size of a car? You know,
yeah.
Like there's so much more to this character that was so two-dimensional and so boring.
God, this panel
in the 90s. And there's so much good art in this.
Yeah, this is so what we're talking about. Actually, I realize we haven't said we were talking about Venom number 6 by Donny Cates and Ryan Stegman. And this is kind of like the last issue of the arc where Venom. So what's been going on in Venom? And I feel like at this point I'm not really spoiling much in the overall storyline, but basically Eddie Brock has been reunited with Venom, but there's now also another character in the mix. Like they've absorbed another personality that's inside there, which is kind of why you're getting this cop, like, it's like Venom, but like with like armor, gun belts, whatever. But it's a bigger storyline. There are other symbiotes, and it's a big war. And then the other one that Tristan
and let's and actually this is
you
this
will
is,
have to talk about this exclusively.
I like what I like
it.
About this. So Venom First Host is a book that everybody's ignoring, which is a shame because this is actually very fun as well, and it kind of explains some of the stuff that's going on in the regular series. Because he has been bonded to a lot of different things, and obviously he's from space. Clearly he was bonded to a Kree originally, and so you have this crazy space story going on.
So this is Venom, and it is his first bonding with a being, and it's a Kree guy.
Yes. And it's a crazy story, and basically, even if you hate the story that's being told here, I am all on board just for the colorist of this book. This color scheme kills me. It is so beautiful, and it's so, like, it's so obviously my style, because it's all, like, weird, like, toxic greens and very, like, everything looks like a Municipal Waste album cover, but it's awesome. It's really good. I think it's super fun, and I would highly recommend it. I would also recommend Venom as well, the Vietnam Venom story.
Did that come out?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't see it. Was that last week?
Oh, that was a couple weeks ago.
Oh, I didn't see it.
People ignored that one too, which is too bad because that was actually written by Cates. So
I wouldn't have ignored it.
But it was good.
Cool. I wanted to talk about, so we were really into Brian Wood's take on RoboCop. for Dark Horse. So he's basically doing the same thing with the Terminator movie franchise, also for Dark Horse. So Terminator Sector War number 2 is out. Number 1, this basically, it's a 4-issue miniseries. It is very similar to the first Terminator movie in that a Terminator has come back in time to kill the pregnant cop whose son will go on to be a threat to the Terminator, to Skynet. And
sounds familiar.
So it's very familiar. However, it is just a really fun and super cool, awesomely illustrated and also colored take
well.
On the Terminator. I like the Terminator android. He's got a very kind of like Rutger Howery kind of look to him. Just everything about it feels, it does maybe feel in a way that RoboCop wasn't. It feels a little derivative of the original Terminator, but I am looking forward to seeing what, because Brian Wood is too good of a writer to just write the Terminator movie again. So there has to be a twist coming, and I'm looking forward to it. But thus far, it is Terminator hunting human and with really good story and art.
Okay. I just quickly talk about Harley Quinn.
This issue is crazy.
Yeah. 50. This is kind of where I'm at with Harley Quinn. I don't care for the character. I really have never really cared that much for the character. But if this is the kind of direction they're going, I feel like they're headed in the right space.
Yeah.
I feel like it was too much cheesecake and nonsense for my taste. And this is nonsense in a much more Tank Girl centered direction, in a more
very ambush
fun
bug.
Ambush bug, like, yeah, like early Deadpool.
Yeah.
Like it really going all out on the nonsense, which I'm all for.
So it's like a giant issue with lots of fill-in artists. And basically the storyline is that Harley Quinn has broken DC continuity. So everything is just completely crazy. And if that sounds like a thing that you're into, you will probably like this a lot. I thought it was really good, and it does have a very kind of heartwarming kind of through line. If you're a fan of the Harley Quinn character, there are slight possible continuity things that will change with the character going forward after this, too. So even though, I mean, I don't know, whatever. Her mom's in it.
Yeah. All right.
Is it spoilers?
Oh, no.
I'm going to talk about Rumble because I always talk about Rumble. I love it. Rumble number 7, John Arcudi, David Rubin. This is a very different take on... So whereas this series has all been set in the city and has been very dark and very gritty and very... James Harren was the original artist. This is all taking place in a kind of almost like mythological... it's all in an island. The colors are super bright and different. I just love the series, and it's worth checking out.
Cool. Avengers number 8 is out.
Yeah.
This is in the aftermath of the whole Celestials thing. They have left a Celestial on Earth, and it's going to be the new Avengers headquarters. They're going to live inside this big dead Celestial, and they've got the Wakandans building all sorts of crazy stuff inside it. And it's the new team. They've chosen a new leader, which is going to be a thing, and it's fun. It's really fun. Honestly, all the stuff with Jennifer Walters is really fun.
Yeah.
There's some continuity, some status quo changes going on with her.
Yeah, big ones.
And I dig it. It's just a fun book. I really hope that there's a big like Thor She-Hulk romance.
Yeah, I do too.
It's kind of fun.
Also, another like just kind of a small thing, but I think is really cool and emblematic in a good way of something that I'm very much in favor of with Marvel. So you always kind of see Captain America, Iron Man, and Thor as like the core Avengers, but there's this thing here where it's the three of them and Black Panther.
Yes.
And I think, I mean, I'd like to see Wasp in there as well, like classic Golden Age, like regular Wasp. But you know, it's cool to see Black Panther taking like a huge like leadership role.
I agree. And
the Avengers.
The other thing that's interesting about that one is that, I mean, Captain Marvel shows up and Captain Marvel is going to join, but she kind of hits she has a moment of like, hey, you know, I'm not going to just hang around and be your secretary. You know, this is like, it's not going to be the three guys and then, you know, like I show up as backup or whatever.
Yeah.
Which I think Captain is Marvel. An important point.
And if she, I guess I thought of Wasp as being just like a original Avenger and not Captain Marvel. I guess Captain Marvel could easily fill that role. That,
especially with the movie coming up.
The movie coming out and all that. Yeah. For sure.
And I like, I'm growing to like that Captain Marvel. So,
you know, the first Avengers comic I ever read was a reprint of a story that was entirely about the Black Panther fighting alone after the Avengers had been defeated. I can't remember what issue it was, but that was the first Avengers comic ever.
Very strange. I like that. Yeah. So Thor number 5 is out.
Looks good.
It is good.
Yeah, it is
good. This book, this one, like you could just read this by itself. And if you like over the top, like, Marvel has been going over the top a lot lately.
Mm.
And here you have the All-Father Thor. Forward in time, Thor now is the All-Father. He's been around in space for millennia. And he runs into his old pal Wolverine, who's been given the Phoenix Force. And so now they're two unbelievably powerful god characters meeting in space, going, hey, how's it going? And Wolverine has a bone to pick with Thor, and there's a gigantic throwdown between...
Is it a claw-shaped bone?
It is indeed. It is, and so there's a gigantic space fight between Phoenix Thor and All-Father... Or Phoenix Wolverine and All-Father Thor. Very crazy, really fun, and it also throws back to their relationship as characters together.
Well, I really liked the opening scene with the current, like, modern Thor, modern Wolverine, just having a beer at a bar, and then you see, like, what Tristan just described. But the art is by Christian Ward, who did the last Black Bolt series, and he is amazing, and I think that he should just be the regular artist on Thor. Nothing against Mike Del Mundo, who I like a lot, but I thought this was the strongest art for the series since the relaunch.
Cool.
Dig it.
You'll have to talk about this one because I did not read this issue.
You know, honestly, I just kind of brought it to note that it came out. I didn't really read it. Pearl from Bendis and Gatos. It's continuing that storyline with the tattoo artist who has ties to... organized crime. It looked decent, but there were just so many books and I didn't have the time to really like sink into this, and I didn't want to.
Fair.
So I didn't.
Okay, fair enough.
But it looks great.
First one was great. I'm sure this one's great.
Really good.
Okay, so I want to talk about this one.
Oh.
Honestly, I want to talk about it. I hate to just talk about something to trash it, but Olivia Twist came out this week, and it's just kind of bleak and not very fun and not easy to follow. And
well, it seems, I would say the take on this is obviously like a futuristic retelling of the Oliver Twist story, but it's set with like relocation, you know, immigration kind of background story. So it's like social commentary, which obviously Oliver Twist itself was, but you know, I found it to be very, very difficult to get into.
Yeah, me too. Was not my favorite. Yeah. I'm sure there's somebody who's gonna love it, but it's not my thing. I honestly, God, I hate it, but like Berger Books just in general has missed for me, like,
yeah, I haven't read Seeds, is the only one I've really done.
Yeah, Seeds I loved, but like outside of that, it's been pretty much misses. So.
Yeah, it's just not. I mean, maybe this is like a serving a comics reading demographic that I am just not connected
to. That's what I was hoping, honestly. I was hoping that I just didn't get it and that there was somebody out there who loves this kind of thing.
It just seems like they're all just like, here's someone that writes for, you know, the West Wing or wrote for National Book Critics Circle Award winner. And it's just like, I don't really like, I don't know, like... I don't know, whatever. Like you said, we shouldn't just trash it. It's, you know, it is what it is. But it's out, and it came out. Speaking of really hard to follow, Multiple Man, is that number 4?
Yes.
I wanted to like this series so much, but I do not. I just can't. Like, I tried the last two issues for me. I'm just like, I just don't understand it.
I agree that it is hard to understand, but I think that the nonsense in this book is enough that I'm on board with it.
Well, yeah, because it's like there are versions of Multiple Man that have the powers of superheroes. So there's like a Hulk Multiple Man.
Yes.
There's like a Deadpool one. There's like a Doctor Strange one. There's like a Cloak from Cloak and Dagger one. So on that level, I kind of get it, but I just don't understand the story that it's telling.
What about on the level where Wonder Man and the Punisher have thongs and they play beach volleyball?
I guess on that level it's good. I missed that part.
On that level,
oh,
it's pretty great. So, and
that's
also
who that is.
Yeah, see? Isn't that beautiful? Everybody's having fun.
Oh, and there is an appearance by X-Men 2099 in it.
Also good.
And a lot of time traveling and weirdness.
Also, Mr. and Mrs. X number three is out.
I'm actually going to take just a brief moment to discuss Mr. and Mrs. X. So this is Rogue and Gambit. They're in space with the Shi'ar, and they have discovered an egg that is actually the child of Professor X and Lilandra, the Empress of the Shi'ar. And they become involved in a adventure to protect the egg. But just kind of a fun, better than I thought it would be kind of series.
Yeah. Doctor Strange.
Doctor Strange
number five
was cool.
Continues to get better and better, I think is the important part of Doctor Strange.
It's not a sword. It's a scalpel.
It's funny because this book did start very slow. They had to really retcon a bunch of stuff. They had to get a bunch of, or not retcon, but they had to fix magic in the entire Marvel universe. There were a lot of big things that had to get out of the way before you could tell your story. And so in space, Doctor Strange is a tough story to tell, and it's finally starting to kick in, and I think this issue is one of the strongest.
Yeah, I actually really dug it. It's the first one of the series that I've really been into, because it is actually gotten to the part where it's like he's figuring out how to do magic again, and so he's being kind of a badass, and I liked it. Death or Glory number five is out by Remender and Bengal. I flipped through this, to be honest, not because it is not good, it is amazing, but I just want to read them all together. And Death or Glory newest issue is out. If you're reading the single issues, you'll want to get that, and if you are waiting for the trade, I assume that'll be out soon since this is number five. But I love this. This is my favorite Remender book since I think Fear Agent. Like, I really dig it.
Nice. That's great.
And then the elephant in the room.
Awesome. Let's talk about the elephant in the room.
Yeah.
Batman's penis.
Batman's penis is in the room.
Batman Damned number one is out. The first book from DC's Black Label really threw Sean under the bus when he wanted to show Harley Quinn's boobs and Joker's butt. They said, no, we're putting a speech bubble over it. But then apparently Lee Bermejo said, I want to hang one out for Batman, and they said, yeah, sure, why not?
Yeah, in a million ways, I don't understand why this is a comic that came out. I don't understand the demographic audience that wants this book.
That's where you're wrong. I do.
Okay, enlighten me, because I just don't.
Okay.
This is so not this. If you were to take everything that I don't want in a superhero comic, it would probably be this, except for it would be about a character I like less than Batman.
Okay, so this is a book that I would have, in 2003, been insanely into. I probably would have, like, this would have been my favorite book that came out this week.
The art's great.
The art is so good.
Yeah.
It's another, like, is Batman going insane story. The Joker is dead. Did Batman kill him? Batman is crippled. Batman is crazy. Batman's bonkers. It's just a very dark story.
Mm.
But I mean, again, you know, DC does a lot of dark stories, and that's kind of their real fault has been that they've done too many dark stories.
Wake up, DC.
But that said, I actually really dug this book.
Sorry.
It wasn't, like, because it's outside of continuity, because it wasn't part of the... I would definitely agree that if this was the direction they were taking the real series, I would be really bummed. But I mean, it's not that much different than when Grant Morrison made him a meth addict.
I think it's very different.
Really?
Yeah, I do. I think this is okay. So in the same way that like, just to open it up for like, it's recently there was a Chip Zdarsky Spider-Man series where there was a lot of time travel and a lot of like space and a lot of stuff. Mm-hmm. And it's like, okay, that's not what I want in a Spider-Man comic.
Nope.
Like, you can have an Avengers comic where Spider-Man's in it and it gives you that kind of like odd man out kind of thing. But like, in general, like, that's not what I want.
Right.
This is a story where Batman interacts with Constantine and Zatanna, and it's like all magic and stuff. And it's like, okay, like, I get, like, you can have a Justice League story where like, but like, if it's a Batman story, having it be like based on magic is to me like off-putting in general. But I just like, I don't, what does this do other than provide a bunch of really cool pictures of Batman bleeding? Because like, that's great. You know, like I love Bermejo. The art is so good, but to me, it's just like, if you have someone who can do that, like, I mean, maybe this is literally like, they were like, we want to do whatever we want to do, and this is what they want to do. And those, in the same way, it's like, I would, to me, it feels like if the guy, Tim Vigil, did a Batman comic.
Mm-hmm.
You remember Tim Vigil?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Like that. It's just like, even down to the cock or the whatever.
It actually,
you know, like,
is, you know, yeah, I
feel like
it.
It's,
yeah,
that's,
yeah,
what it is. And the same reason that I don't ever want to read one of his comics, I don't want to read this comic. I just don't, like, you know, and it's like, I don't want to shit on it, you know. Like, I mean, I am going to, but only in the perspective of it's not for me. It's not a comic I'll be buying.
Yeah, I definitely see all of your problems with it, and for some reason, I still enjoyed it.
Yeah. I like the format. I like the art. You know,
yeah.
Like, I mean, as much as like I think the art is good. It's not. I don't like it. I do think it is of quality.
Yeah. No, it definitely is. It's basically Batman done as an extreme early 90s, you know, like the darkness kind of thing. And
or Vertigo.
Or I mean, it definitely has a Vertigo feel, but like,
well, especially with Hellblazer in it.
But it's
narrated by John Constantine.
Exactly. Whose voice is not right.
Yeah, no, it's...
That was problematic for me, but that's okay. I get it.
Yeah, I don't know. It's, if you like the like super duper gritty, not connected to any kind of continuity, super violent, super filled with, you know, that kind of like just excessive graphic, mm-hmm, violence, then like, this is your book. And I guess there has to be enough of an audience for it out there that they're putting it out. So like, it might be like, and if in any way I seem like I'm like shitting on someone's thing that they really like, I am sorry. I don't want to offend anybody, but you know, I just don't get it.
Yeah, I dig. Anyway, so that's the nice. That's the whole story.
Yeah.
We got a bunch of other stuff in the shop. We're doing a special thing with the website now that I just wanted to make sure everybody knew about. We're going to try a secret amazing thing where we actually have this week's books up on a Tuesday night so you can pre-order them online so that we can get subscribers from away, and we'll mail out your books on Wednesday morning just like you were getting them at a shop. So if you are not from Portland and you have a subpar comic availability in your area, we'll be able to ship you out your books the day they're released. So they'll all be up for sale Tuesday night. And they're up right now as well. So
cool.
So yeah, if you want to get comics from us, we have them all listed online. Well, all honestly, there's a few things we don't pull a ton of, so not all. But if there's something you're looking for that we're missing, just hit us up. And
you offer
and
a subscriber discount
and
as
we
well.
Do indeed. So hit us up. All right. And that's about it. Thanks, guys.
Yeah.
Have a good night.
Do you, you know what? Sorry.
No.
Do you have still, did you get like signed copies of those Waxworks books after your signing?
Oh my God, I didn't.
Oh
it's
man.
The dumbest thing I've
you
ever
still have
done
the books.
In my life.
I was wondering.
I still have a ton of them. And
yeah,
I was
they're
like,
so good. You should still, if you didn't get a chance to come in for that signing was really cool. And those books are still,
yeah, we still have
regardless
some.
Of their,
yeah,
they're there and you should get them.
Yeah. Sorry. We were just too busy to get drunk. We were too excited.
Too busy to get drunk.
We were too excited about shutting the store down and getting wasted.
Oh man.
Apparently. Sorry, everybody.
No, that's cool. It was a busy time. I popped in for a few minutes and it was like pretty active. It was cool.
Yeah, it was fun. So that's it.
Yeah. Sorry to.
No worries. Have a good night, everybody.
Yeah. Bye.